You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray her. Then pray her, and never look back. Once the world forgave you, then do right, then do good. And it's so hard to do right when you do wrong, when I turn right, but you turn all the way.
Henshaw, and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
Heard the song Old MacDonald Had a Farm, or The Farmer in the Dell. Oh, the storybooks, the field trips, all of us have a soft spot for the farm. And so today we have an incredibly special guest who is going to tell us about a wonderful, dynamic place that we will all grow to love. I'll ask our guest, as we always do, would you please introduce yourself to us?
Thank you so much for that kind welcome. My name is Catherine Harrison, and I am with Harrison Farm, just southeast of Columbus, Ohio, where I proudly raise a lot of unruly animals that I adore.
Oh, welcome. This is wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. As a homeschool mama, oh, farms are very precious to us, so it's wonderful to have you with us. Do you consider yourself a farmer?
I do. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the greatest compliments of my life, the first time that I saw myself referred to in an article with the title of farmer. Mm-hmm. My grandfather was absolutely my hero, and he was a very hardworking farmer. And so to have the same term applied as someone who tends the land, cares for the creatures, and nourishes the environment means a great deal to me.
Absolutely. What a beautiful legacy. So did you always plan to be a farmer? Is this something you always wanted to do?
I always loved my family's farm. Mm-hmm. I never imagined that I would end up spending my career on the farm. I had hoped that if I was able to keep the farm going, I would likely be required to have a job off the farm to make it possible. Mm-hmm. So it means a lot to me that the support I have received from my community has allowed me to be a full-time farmer. I actually had many different dreams as a young person, and so I feel very fortunate that I have been able to come full circle back to the farm full-time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm really happy for you. Because it's wonderful to see you living your dream and really loving what you do. Well, you said it, and we want to help. So how could we in the community all over, I mean, we have friends who listen in 160 countries, we're all over the world, and people love farms. They really do. Can they adopt an animal? Can they come do a farm work day? You know, is there something that they can do? Oh, do you have a wish list? Is there a way that people who love farms and want to support farmers can help you?
I will share both how people can be a help to my farm as well as to other farms in general.
Oh, okay.
Wherever you may live in the world, there are likely farms around that would be very grateful for your support. And one of the best ways is to purchase your products directly from farmers, especially as we want to be more healthy. You can better control the quality of the products you buy if you are purchasing directly from a farmer. A lot of farms have information on social media as well as websites. So no matter where you may be in the world, there are likely local farmers around you who would appreciate your financial support. At my particular farm, we do sell farm fresh eggs. We have naturally raised meat. We have fiber products that come from our animals. And so we are always grateful when people essentially vote with their dollars and support our farm by purchasing products from us, because we raise our animals in a way that is very directed toward values and our belief that animals should be honored at all stages of their journey.
Mm-hmm.
Having people purchase products from us allows our farm to keep going. No matter where you may be in the world, I greatly appreciate when people give us a follow on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You can
mm-hmm.
learn more about our farm, Harrison Farm 13, on Facebook, Harrison Farm 13 on Instagram, harrisonfarm13.com is our website, which shares more about my journey as a farmer, my values as a farmer, and what we try to do at this farm to make it a place where the community is welcomed and people can have honest and transparent interactions with animals and learn more about farming as well.
I love it. This is wonderful. Thank you. And I know I certainly enjoy your social media. There's lots of adorable animals and their antics and shenanigans going on. But I want to talk a little bit about your philosophy, you know, that the way that you believe about animals, but also about people, because you have a very interesting group of helpers. So I'd love to hear more about how you see farming, your perspective.
A lot of my approach to agriculture is shaped around the legacy of my family, learning those lessons as I grew up next to my grandfather in the barn, working with him, learning from him, and trying to honor that legacy of agriculture as a community. My own values are very much centered around the circle of life. I believe that every animal has a role, and they deserve to be treated in the way that their nature intends for them to be.
Mm-hmm.
A cat is different than a deer who lives in the wild, which is different than a goat who comes to goat yoga. But each animal is an important part of our ecosystem, and each one deserves to have the quality of life most appropriate. So I try to teach the young people on my farm the importance of showing respect and honoring the circle of life.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up with my grandparents, they were part of that generation that grew up during the Great Depression, and so they taught me the importance of sustainability.
Mm.
Sustainability is a buzzword now, but for them, it was a mantra that I grew up learning, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. And that sustainability also applies to a lot of the activities we do on the farm. After Halloween, we take in pumpkin donations from the community. The sheep love eating pumpkins, and it keeps them out of landfills. After Christmas, we take in Christmas tree donations. The goats love eating Christmas trees, and it keeps them out of the landfills. We also repurpose a lot of items that our community donates to us. I am fortunate that I have a real passion for teaching and for working with young people. I am working to build a nonprofit that is focused on diversity and inclusion within agriculture. It is called Fearless Female Farmer, and my mission there is to inspire the next generation of farmers, cultivate inclusion, and empower the next generation of agricultural leaders. So through that, we host interns at the farm. In the decade that I have had the privilege of owning the farm after I purchased it when it was auctioned off, I have now had 90 interns that have been a part of our internship program.
Wow.
I was not blessed with marriage or children, and so I really pour my maternal heart into those young people, and they bring me a great deal of joy. So on any given day, there are numerous young people here, ranging from 12 years old all the way up to young adult learners in their mid-20s. And some of them are tied to an academic program. They might be a student at Ohio State or Otterbein University, University of Findlay, Xavier University. We have students. Or they might be a high school student or just someone who truly wants to learn about agriculture. And so I do not have a staff. I have young people who are here to learn. Some are with me for a season as they do an internship. But a lot of them remain deeply connected to the farm, and I'm blessed that some of my earlier interns are now in their careers, they're married, they're having children, and they remain very connected to this farm, and I get to be a part of their life through all of that journey.
Oh, that is beyond beautiful. What a gorgeous and generous heart. That's wonderful. And so tell us about some of the lessons that you impart to these helpers, these interns, these young people that you want them to carry out into the world.
They definitely come to the farm for the baby goat snuggles.
Yes.
It is the baby ghosts that recruit people because they are absolutely adorable.
Mm-hmm.
But when the young person gets here, they start to learn what is the care necessary so we can have that adorable baby goat.
Right, right.
Not just the daily feeding, which of course is very important, making sure each animal has what it needs nutritionally, but ensuring that their housing is safe, helping them through pregnancy, deliveries, addressing unexpected health issues. We had a little lamb who accidentally broke his leg a couple of weeks ago.
No. Oh, no.
Fortunately, the vet was available to do an emergency call.
Mm-hmm.
I do most of my own health care, and so my interns learn from me as I'm caring for the animals. Mm-hmm. But I also teach them that you need to know the resources when something is beyond your skill set. So that little lamb became a very valuable lamb after an expensive vet visit.
Yes.
But it's also been a great learning opportunity as they have been able to see the care that we give him each week as we change his splint and make sure his leg is healthy.
Yes.
Just as they are with me through the daily care, birth of animals, health considerations, they're also there often with me when an animal is ending its journey. We have many animals that live especially long lives, probably I baby a lot of my older girls, but they've been with me for a long time, and so we try to make sure that as long as they are enjoying life, they have the best possible experience.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the journey, I want my interns to understand that we treat an animal with respect, and through all stages, they deserve to be shown that they are a valued member of this farm. I work for the animals. The animals work for me. We're all in it together to keep the farm going. And so the young people here absorb those lessons. But along the way, I'm also very passionate about the world and learning.
Mm-hmm.
So my interns tend to pick up a lot of knowledge about history, economics, culture, because those are things that it's important to understand as a member of the human society.
Mm-hmm.
And we joke a lot about when I give them little pop quizzes, we'll talk about reminders. What are our core values at Harrison Farm? And they all try to remember honesty, integrity, loyalty. And then we'll start talking about history and how did the world get to where it is. So they come for the baby goats, they learn how to take care of animals, and they pick up a lot of life lessons along the way.
This is wonderful. I mean, this is really, really special. And I'm so thankful that you're willing to take the time and pour your life and wisdom and knowledge that you've received as a gift into others' lives. And I think that is fantastic. But you said the magic words, baby goats. And so I want to make sure that we talk about lambgrams.
Yes. Lambgrams are the opportunity for little animals to come to you. Just as you could send someone flowers or send someone a candygram, at Harrison Farm, you can also order a lambgram. We show up at your door with a couple of little animals. It's a visit where the person who receives the lambgram gets to snuggle the animals, take photos with them. We travel throughout the state of Ohio doing lambgrams. The baby animals are happy to go wherever someone would like to hire them to travel. But again, that was a blessing. I've had many struggles as a farmer. It is very difficult to keep a farm going. But that being said, I've tried to be discerning whenever opportunities have opened up. And a couple of years ago, during the wintertime, as I was struggling to make ends meet and keep the farm going, a lovely individual called and asked if there was any chance that they could hire me to bring a baby lamb or a baby goat to see their girlfriend on Valentine's Day.
Oh.
They inquired, is that something that you do? And I said, absolutely. So I took that as a sign from the universe and put it out on social media that we could do animal visits for Valentine's Day. We booked up.
Uh-huh.
And since then, we've kept it going. People ask, could you come for a birthday? How about Mother's Day? Mm-hmm. Maybe a baby shower at the holidays. And so it has become something that we do, and it has allowed us to meet a lot of really amazing people. And even though I'm sharing my love of animals, again, often there are little lessons about farming and animal care that I'm able to share as I'm visiting with people and introducing them to the animals.
I love it. It's so creative, and it's such a wonderful way to celebrate an occasion or just make an occasion, right? You know, just make one, make it special.
It's so fun for me. Mm-hmm. If you walk up to someone's door with a baby lamb and a baby goat under your arm, they are going to be happy.
That's right. That's right. I mean, instant happiness. And I think of so many folks, I mean, our elders, right, who would love to have a treat, the holidays. We're a homeschool family, and I can just think of how much fun that would be for homeschoolers and homeschool co-ops. And, because never is anyone disappointed to see baby animals at their door, right?
So
it's always like, yay. Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. And so we're all going to follow you on social media and go to your website so that we can get lambgrams for people that we love and they can have joy, which is just wonderful. Well, you mentioned the challenges of being a farmer, and I think a lot of us maybe don't even know about those challenges. You know, we see the animals and we have all of the little songs and storybooks, and we've been raised with the idea of the farmer, you know, and overalls and tractors and red barns and all of that. But you mentioned challenges. What are some that you think we should know about?
For people who farm, it is a calling. Do this because it is what I am called to do. It is hard, but it is where I'm meant to be. I am honored to be the caretaker of this land and to look after the animals upon it. But that means that I am there when the animals need me, which is 24 hours a day,
all the
days a week. Mm-hmm. I feed the sheep on my birthday. I feed the sheep on Christmas. If an animal has an emergency in the middle of the night, it does not matter what time it is or how tired I am or how cold it is outside or how difficult the conditions. It is my responsibility as the shepherd to care for those that need me. This winter was the hardest I'd ever had as a farmer.
Really?
There was a significant drought last summer.
Okay.
And while if you live in a city, you might notice that your lawn dies.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a farmer and your animals rely on pasture to be their nourishment in the summer, and then they need hay in the winter, and suddenly those things are gone because of nature, it becomes very hard to keep animals going. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of challenges keeping the animals nourished and well this winter. We also had an unusually brutal January. For 3 weeks, the temperatures were very bitter here, and the water lines to the barn froze. That was also when we had a lot of new lambs arriving. And it is the window of time when I have the least help because young people are back in school, and it's a lot more fun to be at the farm when it's warm out than when it's super cold.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So I had some very challenging weeks where getting out of bed every day took a lot of motivation to know that I was heading out in brutal cold to struggle to help babies that were chilled and carry water from the house to be able to nourish animals because the water lines in the barn were not working. But that is my responsibility. And at the end of the day, I need to know that every animal has received as much care as I can give it before I even consider going to bed. With those weather challenges, the mama sheep had a lot of struggles getting their babies going. Because a baby is born wet into the world. If it is 70 degrees out, that is no problem. A baby dries off quickly. If it is 0 degrees out, babies get chilled. And so I ended up with a lot of bottle babies in my kitchen that then I needed to feed because they needed extra help. So I share that because my winter was characterized by doing a last bottle feeding at midnight collapsing in bed exhausted for a few hours until I would get up to do the 4 a.m. bottle feeding, sleep a few more hours, and then go outside in bitter cold to feed the animals. And thankfully, we had Christmas tree donations. Again, my community gives me amazing support. If not for the Christmas trees, the animals and I would not have made it through. But carrying enough Christmas trees to be able to provide forage for a lot of animals in snow when it's cold out was definitely a challenge. So thank you for letting me share all that, because it was a lot for me to experience as a human, but it only made me more dedicated that I would get this farm to better days so that we all had a better quality of life, me and the animals. So thank you very much for listening and letting me share.
Thank you for sharing. You know, we have homeschoolers who listen to this podcast as part of their education, and we have college students, professors that use this podcast as part of teaching their college courses. And so I think it's important and only right and just that we give folks a window into the truth about things, right? Like, we all want to snuggle the baby goats and lambs, but as you're saying, there's another depth and another level to all of that. And I'm just thankful you were willing to share it. So what advice directly would you give to someone who right now maybe thinks they have a calling to be a farmer?
I have the privilege of working with young people who want to do all different things in the world. Some of them want to be farmers. Some want to be veterinarians. Some are interested to work in public health someday and want to understand the agricultural component. So as I introduce them to real-world knowledge about farming, they are growing in their skills no matter what their career goals might be.
Sure.
If a young person wants to pursue something connected to animals or agriculture, research opportunities online, because there are likely farms near them that might be open for volunteers. I would also highly recommend youth development programs like 4-H. 4-H is a program that allows young people to take projects and be a part of clubs where they can develop leadership skills and learn more about the world and about farming. The best advice I ever received was from my grandfather. He was a very patient gentleman. He loved to learn about life. He was always curious and a very hard worker. When I was a young person, I would pour out my heart to him. He would listen to all of the drama of a teenage girl.
Yes.
And then he would smile at me with his big smile and say, "It'll get worse." And as a young person, I thought, well, that sounds terrible. Why are you telling me that it will get worse? Now, as I get older, I realize he was smiling at me thinking, yes, this is a big deal when you're 16, but you're going to get stronger and you're going to get smarter and you're going to be able to handle the next challenge that comes and the next challenge after that and after that. And the biggest thing was, when he was saying that, he was also saying, "And I love you, and I'll be there to support you." So now it is common at Harrison Farm that as we go through challenges, we just smile wryly and look at each other and laugh and say, "It'll get worse." But the other part of that lesson is it will get worse, but you will handle it, and I will be there to help the young people that need me as a mentor.
That's really beautiful. I mean, I think that is just an amazing way of thinking. And I think elders are so precious. You know, we are indigenous, and in our culture, elders are a treasure. They're how we learn, and what we learn from our elders just sticks with us for life. And so I love the way you talk about your grandfather, because that's the way I talk about mine.
Yeah.
And I just, I quote him, I think about him, and I appreciate and love him so much. And I'm so thankful that you had the opportunity to have such a wonderful grandfather and now have the opportunity to impart his wisdom to the next generation. I think that's great.
It is truly a blessing for me. I really struggled when it became apparent that I would not be a mother of biological children. And so I feel very grateful that each of us is instilled with abilities, and I knew that I had all this love in my heart, and now the universe has opened up to me the opportunity to give that love to other young people. So I firmly believe another piece of advice would be, whatever you feel in your heart, what your passions are, mm-hmm. you will find the right calling to share those things. And the calling will come to you.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I think so often young people feel like they have to have it all figured out, right? You don't. I mean, and you have so much time. I mean, even like, you know, 40, 50, 60, you still have so much time. You really do.
Absolutely.
And so I always love it when people are gentle with the hearts of young people who are exploring and finding their way, because sometimes it does take a little time and a lot of wisdom to figure out what it is that they want to do. And so what was your personal just green flag, your sign that you were called to farm? What was your personal sign?
I always wanted to be able to carry on this farm and be a steward. Mm-hmm. I had many challenges on my way. It did not come easily. I ended up purchasing this farm at auction after my grandparents passed away when it was put up for sale.
Oh, wow.
So unlike many people in generational farms who inherited the farm, I actually purchased my family's farm. And being a single woman purchasing land, that took a lot of resources, that I had to be very creative to make things happen. And so I share that to give context that when I made the decision that I was going to risk everything I had to run this farm, I promised myself that it was going to be spectacular. And even if I failed, that was okay. But I was going to make sure if I failed on that endeavor, I failed spectacularly. And I would throw my whole heart into it, and I would see what the universe said. It happened to fall, that land auction, at one of the darkest times of my life. In a short window of time, the gentleman that I thought I was going to marry, that relationship fell apart. My home was robbed. My mentor was diagnosed with a brain tumor and passed away. My grandmother was diagnosed with cancer and passed away.
Farm
into chaos. My health issues got worse. And then to top it all off, because I was working for the mother of the gentleman I thought I was going to marry, my job ended. All of those things happened in just a few months. And so when it became apparent that my grandparents' farm was going to be auctioned, it felt like a moment where the universe said, this is a path you can go down if you so choose. And I decided I wanted to fight for something that mattered to me. The universe had already tested me. I had nothing to lose.
That's right.
So thank you for letting me share that, because sometimes the hardest lessons and the most difficult circumstances are refining us to be ready for the next thing.
Yes. It's alchemy, almost. Spinning straw into gold, right? My granddaddy used to say you take pain or hate or sorrow and you burn it like rocket fuel and rise. And that's what I see that you have done, you know. And I'm so sorry for the things you had to endure and to go through. But I'm so grateful that you have come out into this wonderful place where you then can have a life that you love. And I think someone needs to hear that today. They needed to hear what you just shared. You know, folks are going through all kinds of things in life right now. And yet, you know, there may be wonderful things on the other side of those pains and tragedies. And so I'm really thankful for your transparency and your authenticity and willingness to share. We're going to go to commercial for just a few minutes, pay some bills, and when we come back, we're going to have much more of this beautiful, beyond beautiful conversation. We'll be right back.
Yeah, oh no. Lord, could you come and save her? Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard, then pray hard, and never look back once the world forgave you.
TalkTainmentRadio.com podcast is another way to go for those of you that's on the go. You can now get your favorite programs on most new cell phone technology. Let us work like a DVR and enjoy our podcast for those shows you can't fit in your busy schedule. The Road to Featured Podcast. Type in TalkTainmentRadio.com. Go to homepage. Scroll down to Featured Podcast. Click on Play or click on Subscribe for more programs. Or you have the option to download. Podcast is the way to go for you busy folks. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com. Another reason to come, another reason to stay. Radio, the way it should be heard.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Along with healthy food choices and regular physical activity, blood pressure medicines reduce those risks, but only if prescriptions are filled in the first place. And 1 in 4 adults with Medicare Part D skip doses or stop taking their medicines altogether. Some are reluctant to treat a problem that often doesn't have symptoms. Others get confused over when to take which pills, or worry about cost or unwanted side effects. The thing is, heart disease, stroke, and kidney disease don't care about those factors. But you can take action. Ask questions about how to correctly take your medicine and why you need it. Keep track of your blood pressure between medical appointments with a home monitor. Coordinate pill refills for fewer trips to the pharmacy. And reduce confusion by using weekly pill boxes and tracking apps. It's easy to download free tip sheets and tools to help you or your loved ones take their blood pressure medicines on time and in the right amount. To learn more, visit millionhearts.hhs.gov.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
This is the sound of confidence soaring.
Our mission is to educate, inspire, and honor.
This is the sound of honor roaring.
We should never, never forget those that gave their lives.
This is the sound of a generation rising above.
337 for Bravo Fox Papa.
We want to be involved in the education of young people so that they can take our aircraft and the stories that our pilots tell and realize their own dreams.
The Commemorative Air Force honors the heroes of yesterday while educating and inspiring the heroes of tomorrow.
Your future and how you live your life is dependent on how you think.
You can learn more at commemorativeairforce.org right now.
The life of every child is precious. If you care for a child or teenager with a disability and have limited income and resources, they may qualify for monthly cash payments through the Supplemental Security Income Program, or SSI. Call Social Security at 1-800-772-1213 or visit ssa.gov/ssikids to learn more. That's ssa.gov/ssikids. Message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Your daughter doesn't want to talk about why her room is a horrible mess. Your son doesn't want to talk about why he's wearing mismatching socks. Your spouse doesn't want to talk about their bad haircut. Families don't have to talk about everything, but they should talk to plan for an emergency. Pack basic supplies in a go bag, water, canned food, flashlights, batteries, medical supplies, IDs, and some cash. Talk about where you'll meet in case you lose one another. And of course, don't forget to pack the dog treats. Talk to your family and make an emergency plan. Go to nyc.gov/readyny or call 311 to make your family's emergency plan. Brought to you by New York City Emergency Management and the Ad Council.
I am really enjoying this conversation. I am just thoroughly enjoying this conversation. And it's because of our guest today. The warmth and generosity of spirit that our guest, a farmer, is sharing with us is just beyond beautiful. Would you please reintroduce yourself to our friends who are listening?
Thank you for the privilege of being on today. My name is Catherine Harrison with Harrison Farm in Groveport, Ohio.
I'm so glad you're here. Would you please tell us, everyone, stop everything you're doing, and we're going to go follow. We're going to like, follow, share, whatever it is we need to do. Would you share with us again your social media, website, wherever folks can get to know you a little better?
You can find the farm under Harrison Farm 13 on Facebook, Harrison Farm 13 on Instagram, as well as HarrisonFarm13.com. And to learn more about our efforts to inspire the next generation of agriculturalists and really celebrate diversity and inclusion within farming, please check out Fearless Female Farmer on Instagram, as well as Fearless Female Farmer on Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Everyone, you know what to do and you know when to do it. Let's go. When you say Fearless Female Farmer, what exactly does that mean to you?
Many years ago, when I had just purchased a farm, a lovely writer asked if she could do an article about me for a local publication.
Mm-hmm.
We had a great conversation. She reached out to me afterwards and shared that she wanted to take the article in a different direction, because initially she wanted to talk about the farm, what we raised, but the more she learned my story, she wanted it to be very personal about my efforts to become a farmer and to carry on my family's farm. So she entitled the article, Central Ohio's Fearless Female Farmer.
Mm,
at the time, I did not think I was worthy of that title. It was very overwhelming and beautiful, but it felt like I was not quite there. 5 years after that article came out, I was in a very bad car crash, and it really stopped my world. Incredibly hard to keep farming after being in a situation like that, but I was very blessed. I recovered. Life is amazing and wonderful, but it took me a lot of time, and it caused me to reflect on what was most important to me. That was when I became even more involved in educational initiatives and empowering young people within agriculture. And so from that, I decided I wanted to take whatever skills or abilities I had to make sure that young people had a good journey into agriculture and animal care. And that was when we launched the nonprofit. And so the title, Fearless Female Farmer, after what I've experienced and after what I've done to keep the farm going despite challenges, now I happily own that title.
Mm-hmm. I think you're very deserving. Yes. I think you should. I love it. I think you absolutely deserve that title. And I'm glad you have it. I really am.
Thank you.
What's your dream for your farm? I mean, I know it was your dream to be a farmer, to have a farm, and you do, and that's wonderful. But what's your dream now for the future of your farm?
Sharing both immediate dream for the farm to survive and dreams that I want to see for its future. One easy dream is I would like us to get on more stable financial footing.
Mm-hmm.
With me putting everything I had financially into purchasing a piece of land shortly before a pandemic shut down everything in the world,
mm-hmm.
I have had to readjust my business plan many times and try to find those opportunities that emerge so that I can keep the farm going. I am hopeful, though, to get the farm to a position where we can make some improvements that allow for life to be easier and farming to be more streamlined for the betterment of everyone here. So an immediate dream would be I'd like to get the farm to a position where it is also financially sustainable to keep it going. But long term, I want this to be a place where my community is nurtured and where they are able to learn about farming in a way that they might not be able at other places. I'm hopeful that this farm will be an ambassador for agriculture, where people can come, ask questions, learn, and feel that their lives are made richer because they've had those interactions.
Uh-huh.
I get so much joy from the people who visit here and seeing what the farm is doing for others.
Uh-huh.
And so I hope the legacy of this farm is that it has provided healing, knowledge, and a place of safety and respect for the animals and the people who are a part of it.
Definitely. Yes. Oh, and I'm so happy that that will come to pass. I just know it will. I know the future of your farm is bright and wonderful, and we are absolutely thankful for everyone who is going to come alongside you and help you in any way to see that future materialize and manifest. What about the future of farming? I think there is a lot of... I don't know. I don't think the average person really even knows where their food comes from a lot of times and doesn't really know what farming entails these days. So what do you see as the future of farming in general?
I agree with that assessment that agriculture can be very foreign to many people.
Mm-hmm.
I had the good fortune that I just got back home late last night from a trip to Washington, D.C., where I met with several members of Congress to talk about farming.
Mm-hmm.
I love what I do. I love sharing stories of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
But if people who are in leadership roles have no idea what farmers need to be able to keep farming, then we cannot keep providing healthy local foods for our community.
Mm-hmm.
I see in agriculture a lot of diversity. There are larger scale farms, smaller scale farms, homesteads where people nurture their own land and food. I would consider myself more of a medium-sized farm.
Mm-hmm.
And probably those are farms that are struggling the most because if a farm is large, it has a lot of resources. If a farm is small, it's likely more niche-oriented, so it's doing a specific product or it's a small homestead. Medium-sized farms are struggling, and a lot of the pressure that I feel is from development.
Mm-hmm.
The value of land next to my farm, which just sold for a housing development, is much more than I could ever pay for land as a farmer.
Oh, wow.
So with that, and with the neighboring farm selling for a development, we're going to have a lot more people here and a lot more pressure around us. There are also a lot of solar farms that are going in my area, and so that is impacting valuable farmland when they're converted over to another purpose. We also have a lot of warehouses that are going in very close to me because it is convenient to order everything from Amazon, and so Amazon needs large warehouses. So my farm individually is feeling pressure from land development for housing, land development for solar, land development for warehousing. And so with that, it becomes harder and harder to keep a medium-sized farm going. I work about 70 to 80 hours a week, every week.
Oh,
And so I often joke about I'd love to get down to part-time and work 40 hours a week. But I'm doing this because I believe in it. I believe we're going to get to better days. I believe that things are going to be amazing. And this is the work that is necessary now. But I share that to make sure that people who are interested in learning about farming know that farmers love talking about what they do. And so the best way to learn is to engage with a farmer. And I appreciate the opportunity to share transparently the joys and the challenges, but also making sure that people know farmers love talking about what they do. The internet is a resource of many different ideas, which may or may not be true on any given topic, including agriculture.
Right.
But the internet can connect you to farms and farmers who would love to share with you real-world experience about agriculture. So thank you for letting me share as I talk about the pressures of land usage, the taxes that come along with that, and then just navigating in a modern world, how do we both embrace technology that makes life easier while also honoring the traditions that we know nurture our souls as humans.
Right. And so how was that received? I mean, you were able to go to the Capitol and share these ideas that, you know, you're so eloquently expounding on. How did they receive it? What was the response?
We are fortunate, especially in the Midwest, that a lot of individuals, whatever their role, they have a little bit of knowledge, at least, about farming. I think that farmers, when they show up in the halls of Congress, it's a little bit easier to make a connection with someone because everyone eats. So we all have a passion for food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm fortunate because I get to go in and talk about adorable baby goats and goat yoga.
Yes.
So that's also a lot more interesting than just a dry policy topic.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that we were very much welcomed. We were able to talk about what we need to ensure that farmers can be successful, because if farmers are successful, then our food supply is abundant, and food security is a major part of national security.
Yes. You know, I hadn't thought of it that way, but that is a really important revelation. I mean, you can't have national security without food security.
Correct.
And so when you think about that particular issue, do you have concerns for our future?
I have concerns that agriculture will become so distant from the people around us that there's a lack of understanding, and then we start looking at things almost as though they're siloed off, where we talk about conservation, but we talk about it separately from farming. Or we talk about what is healthy as far as food supply and chemicals and regulations, but we have that conversation separately from conservation of land and farming. So I lift that up because agriculture is something that touches everyone and also needs an approach where we comprehensively consider what are the trade-offs to any situation. For example, with land usage, we're able to nourish our soils better if we do not plow them. And so we call that no-till because that allows the dirt to stay healthy and in place so you're not losing soil through erosion. But that no-till approach, you still need to manage pests as well as weeds. And so with no-till, that is why herbicides become important so that a crop can grow without being attacked by pests which is why you would use a pesticide, or by weeds. And so often we look at those conversations differently of how do we nourish the soil and how do we minimize chemical usage without recognizing that actually there are trade-offs to each situation, and it's finding a way that it comprehensively works together to keep our ecosystem thriving.
Oh, my goodness, that is so fascinating. I mean, all of that is such a window into a world that many people never have. So what else would you like us to know about your farm, your fearless female farmer journey, or even farming in general that we might not already know?
If someone would like to learn more about the stories of the farm, I do write on Substack under Fearless Female Farmer. Substack is a platform that allows creatives to share what they do, and so I utilize that to tell stories of the farm and share more about honest experiences of being a woman farmer in the modern era in a metropolitan area. So I would encourage your listeners to check out fearlessfemalefarmer.substack.com to learn more stories of the farm. But as I share those stories, I want people to know that they can do what allows them to pursue their dreams. If I'm able to do this, and I'm a hot mess most of the time, but my heart leads me and I do what I feel I'm called to do, if I can do it, you can do it. Whatever your dream is, if you are willing to put in the work, and it will take work, and if you are willing to keep being a better version of yourself, and that takes work, you can do what you are called to do, and then you will set the world on fire.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times folks focus on mistakes that they've made or problems that they've had or failures or whatever, but I believe it's just as important to really give gratitude and be thankful for the things that went right. You know, sometimes you ask people about their biggest regret or their biggest mistake, and they can tell you right away. But when I ask them, you know, what'd you do right? What are you really glad that you did in this situation? It takes a minute. And so I'd love to hear that from you. What are you so glad that you did in this journey? Or you got it right when you did this?
I believe that failure is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I often tell my young people, rejection is protection.
Absolutely.
There have been many situations where I wanted something so much and it did not happen. As you go through life and you have more age and experience, it is amazing to look back and think how glad you are that that thing you wanted so desperately did not happen. And so if I am able to share something of which I am proud, it is that every time one of those challenges came along, when I fell down, I pulled myself back up. And I think often about those difficult moments that I've had where I wondered, is this worth doing? Is it worth keeping going? What is the tipping point? And I may not have done it gloriously, but every time I pulled myself back up and I kept going, even if I had to pivot. And so thank you for letting me share that perhaps I'm proudest of myself that every day I keep going and I keep figuring it out. And when I look back, I can see everything that I've been able to achieve because I never gave up.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. You know, because right now there's someone listening to us that just helped them so much, tremendously. And I thank you for being willing to share that. I want to make sure we do talk about goat yoga, because there may be folks thinking, oh, goats know how to do yoga?
We actually had a goat yoga class this morning. It was wonderful. It was a private class that a family had organized. They had some extended family members visiting the United States from overseas, and they wanted them to experience something that was very much Ohio, Midwest America. And so they brought them to goat yoga. Goat yoga is essentially a holistic on-farm yoga class where we let the animals be the animals and they are full of shenanigans. So this morning, Mr. Beignet the goat became obsessed with one of the young men in the yoga class and spent most of the yoga class trying to get his attention. Esperanza the baby goat found a yoga mat that she liked, and she just laid down and snuggled with the human that was practicing yoga. And Garden Goat, who has a new baby who's about a week old, he came out to yoga with her, and so they charmed everyone as different people got to hold the little baby during the yoga class. But the roosters crow, the ducks usually wander through at some point to judge all of us. Some of the bottle baby lambs run through to get snuggles. So it's very much an on-farm yoga experience, and we are blessed to be in our 10th season of goat yoga now.
Wow. Oh, that's very exciting. Oh, that's wonderful. That is just a joy. That's great. Oh, and see, all of us can be thinking creatively. Like, I think about the homeschool co-ops who might enjoy some lamb grams and goat yoga, and people who have, like you said, folks visiting who want to have a unique experience in the state where you are, and all of these other wonderful things that your farm has to offer. This is great. This is just terrific, and I thank you for all the good that you're putting into the world. I mean, this is just absolutely marvelous.
Thank you. It's been such a joy to share those stories with you.
Mm-hmm. I have enjoyed all of our conversation, and we absolutely love everything you have to share with us, but even more so, we love the fact that you're willing to share your knowledge, your wisdom, your joy. You're willing to share it with these interns, with the community, with people who love and care about animals. It's just wonderful. And so tell us one more time before we go, what folks can do to what can they purchase from you, perhaps? And what, again, social media connections? I mean, this is your moment to help us to take action steps. Folks may want to just become more involved with your farm after this beautiful conversation.
If you are in the Central Ohio area, please visit HarrisonFarm13.com to learn more about our open farm hours on Sunday afternoons, 1 to 4. When we welcome visitors May through September to come out to the farm, shop at our farm stand where we have our fresh eggs, naturally raised meats, and other products. On our website, HarrisonFarm13.com, we also have our goat yoga schedule along with information on booking a lamb gram. You can find that as well on Facebook and Instagram under HarrisonFarm13. And if you'd like to support the farm and my efforts to mentor the next generation of agriculturalists, please visit Fearless Female Farmer on Facebook and Instagram, as well as fearlessfemalefarmer.substack.com to learn more stories of the farm and why I believe that agriculture has a bright future in the next generation.
Wonderful. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for sharing from your heart and giving us a glimpse into your wonderful world and how we, too, can connect with you and be part of what you're doing. We loved having you here, and we've loved everything you shared with us.
What a joy to be a part of this. Thank you.
Oh, and we so much love our sponsors, our donors. You know, you make this possible every month. Our nonprofit has a miracle, and this is a labor of love because of all of you who share. So thank you to the platforms, to the sponsors, to the donors, to the prayer warriors, to the guests, to our engineer and our interns and everyone who makes these conversations possible. What a joy it is for all of us to be connected in these beautiful conversations and ways of thinking and perspectives and all of the wonderful things that manifest as a result. So thank you so much for joining us today. We are so grateful to you and grateful for you, and we hope that you'll be incredibly, wonderfully well-blessed until we're all together again for another conversation with Dawn Karima. We'll see you next time.
You come and save her. Better believe it. Get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard. Ain't never look back once the world forgave you.
She is silent. You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. Talktainmentradio.com.